Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Sorontos.
Thank you for tuning in, and welcome back to The Songwriter Show, right here on Reality Radio 101. I'm your host, Sorontos. I'm a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words are so important to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show for you every Tuesday evening. I believe in my heart that every song is a story. Tonight, I'm proud to have on the show Landis Maitland Whitelaw, a composer and musician, and he's just finished his new orchestral work, Urban Sprawl. It showcases 22 of the orchestra's instruments.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show, Landis. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing really well, sir. It was nice to talk to you again.
Yes, it's been a pleasure, man. So tell our listeners, you got anything new since the last time we talked to you? It's been a little bit, but what's going on with you?
Well, this is the new thing, this Urban Sprawl. I was the backstory to this is that I got a lead on a library, orchestral library called BBC Discover, and it was a free one. And so I did a mock-up with it and used it and really, really enjoyed the quality of the sound. So I upgraded, and then I took the piece that I made with it, Urban Sprawl, and redid it on the updated version. And that's what you've got in front of you now, is Urban Sprawl, done on, and it's called BBC Core. And there's one higher than that that gives you more mixing opportunities and whatnot. But this works, I think, really, really well for it.
That's wonderful. Tell us a little bit about what you're most proud of on this new work.
Well, it's interesting because I think probably what I really like about it the most is the melody in it. Because when I sat down and put down the chord patterns and the time signature for the main part of this, I needed a melody. So what I did, and I've never done this before, is I plugged in my microphone and I put the backing or the track on, and I just sang a melody over top of it. And then I went back into the DAW, turned it into MIDI, and cleaned it up a little bit, and that's where that whole melody comes from. And so part of the song is, well, I'll tell you, it's just shy of 12 minutes long, so it's a fairly major work when it comes to this. And there is an introduction which kind of introduces the piece, you know, and it has timpani in it and whatnot. And then I introduce a little bit of the melody itself or the theme. And then the next part of it, I start developing that theme, and I use the, you'll hear the brass section playing it, you'll hear the woodwinds playing it, a combination of brass and woodwinds, you'll hear the strings play it, and then they have a good selection of tuned percussions, like your vibraphones and your xylophones and all of that kind of really cool stuff and whatnot. So I actually featured just them on one of the movements also. And then it goes in, of course, to the finale, and then it ends. So there's about seven sections to this work. And I think that's probably what makes it so long. It starts off in 4-4, and then when I'm working with just the melody part or the theme part and whatnot, it goes into 3-4. You know, your bah stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got to have variety, right?
Absolutely. You betcha. And this really, really does it. And then for the finale, I go back and do the 4-4 time. And I think it kind of solidifies it nicely.
Yeah, awesome. You know, to refresh the memory of some of our listeners who might not have heard your last show, tell us a little bit about where you are and what you do.
Okay, well, I started doing my musical journey at 13 years of age, where I took up the guitar. I took 3 years of lessons. From there, I'm basically self-taught. I went back to the conservatory, took 1 year of classical guitar, and then I was in a band, and so we were playing music, and then I started writing music for the band. And I'm more of an instrumentalist than anything else, so I write melodies and all that sort of stuff. So I was writing for the little band that I was in, and we made an album called Black Tie, and it's strictly instrumental and whatnot. So give the Ventures a run for their money, eh?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then from there, I fell in, I met a composer that taught at the University of Saskatchewan. And he listened to my album, and he rather liked it. So he invited me into a group called the Saskatoon Composers Performance Society. And from that time on, I've been dabbling and writing classical style music. I'm not saying it's classical music, because it's not. It's more modern than that. And my kind of what I would like to get out of that is that when I leave my legacy behind and people start listening to this sorts of stuff, I really hope that it reaches a really broad section of our culture, you know.
Sure.
Because right now, over the last number of decades and whatnot, the audiences for this symphonic orchestras and stuff like that have been dwindling off. They've been doing all sorts of things to try to appeal to different audiences and things like that. And my hope is that this kind of music will strike the chord in a broad range of audiences, and they won't be afraid to go into a symphony hall and listen to a symphony orchestra play
yeah.
my work, because you can sit down and close your eyes. You can envision different things to different people, and walk out of there humming a tune, hopefully. Because something will have stuck with you, you know? And that's kind of my hope, is that it'll help rejuvenate it. Because the palette of the symphony orchestra is absolutely phenomenal. I mean, it's like a painter who has a palette with all of these colors in it. And every instrument in the orchestra is a color. It's really a color. And so what you're doing is you're painting a picture with all of these orchestral sounds, all these orchestral colors and whatnot. So the things that you can come up with are absolutely amazing. And it doesn't have to be stodgy. You don't have to be a long-haired, you know, music professor to appreciate it and dissect it and stuff. You can just accept it for what it is. And
yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm coming from.
Landis, what do you think is the biggest difference between orchestral music or those kind of compositions from what you hear on the radio?
Basically, the question is orchestral music as opposed to rock and bebop and band.
Anything, pop, anything you'd hear on the radio,
yeah.
Like not a classical station.
Yeah, not a whole lot, you know, really, because they're built pretty much the same way, you know, whether it's a singing song or if it's, you know, if I put together a quartet and they play it, a song, they pretty much have the same basis to them. You know, you end up with a kind of an introduction. You have the main part. You have like a verse, chorus, verse, out, and away you go. And so that sort of thing is very familiar to people. And that's the style I write in. more of a, and I can't say a pop style either, because it's, you can't pigeonhole that, I don't think.
Yeah, well, you can, but you really shouldn't.
Well, I don't know if you can, because, you know, you can sit down and read and listen to this thing and say, oh yeah, I can see this Ravel meeting Copland on this piece, you know.
Yeah.
But it's not built for that. You know, it's built for sitting down, listening to it, and it is what it is. And you either enjoy it or you don't. And hopefully people will really enjoy it, because there's really nothing in there that really strains you like a lot of contemporary music does. You know, it really... You can't understand it unless somebody tells you the story behind it. And that's not the way I write. I write it so that you can sit down and you'll visualize something out of the music that I write. So that's my whole intent of it. Yeah.
Okay. Tell you what, Landis, let's take a break, listen to your song, then we'll come back and talk. Okay.
Sounds wonderful.
Awesome. Check this out, everybody. Here we go. Well, that was a really cool piece of work, Landis. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Well, my pleasure. It's nice to have people listen to my music, and I'm sure that all they got here in this particular one was a snippet of it. So Go to my website and check it out and listen to the whole 12 minutes of it. I have it up on SoundCloud and I have a link to it in my shop area. We click the graphic on it and you can listen to it for free. I have all of them. This is my seventh work, orchestral work. So they're all on my website, and notation is available for sale for the people that would actually like to play this sort of music. And I find that that's kind of an exciting thing too.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit, where can people, other than SoundCloud, your website, your socials, where can they reach out to you?
Well, my website is long, like my name is. It's just LandisMaitlandWhitelaw.com, period. That's all it is. I'm on Facebook under my name. I'm on Instagram. I'm YouTube. There's two YouTube channels that I'm under my name. One, and all of them can be accessed from my website, LandisMaitlandWhitelaw.com, and I'm on Twitter, and I'm also on LinkedIn too. And I'm finding that that is a really cool place to go and meet other artists and people in the music industry. There's fabulous talent out here,
There
and it's
really
really nice
is.
to hear this stuff because I introduce my stuff and they throw me something for them to listen to, and it's absolutely amazing. I love it.
Yeah, no, I think collaboration, appreciating other artists, whether they're indie artists, famous artists, I think there's that's the way the world works, and I really am glad to hear you doing that.
Yeah, I like doing that. One of the things that I would love to do too is have somebody that does something that I don't do, like if it's bebop or rap or whatever it happens to be, and say, "Hey, Landis, why don't we collaborate?" And it would be interesting to see what comes out.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's how magic is made.
I think so too. I really think so. But you really need broad-minded thinkers to do that.
Absolutely. Any famous musicians that you admire?
Oh, tons and tons and tons of them. I'm a guitar player. That's the way I started out. I use classical, play classical guitar and electric guitar and all that sort of stuff. So, people like Chet Atkins, I mean, just absolutely phenomenal. I mean, he's been an influence on everybody. And for the classical guitar end of it, Alexander Lagoya, I mean, if you're not familiar with him and you like classical guitar, fabulous, fabulous person. He taught Leona Boyd how to play, or gave her some lessons anyway. And I've actually met him. We had him in Saskatoon for a concert, and fabulous man. He's deceased now, unfortunately. But yeah, there's lots and lots of people. Eric Clapton is a blues guy that I just absolutely adore. So I have wide-ranging tastes in music, as I do when I compose. So the influences, I'm not sure if I think everything you hear is an influence. So, but I don't pick somebody and say, I'm going to write like this person or do or play like this person. I never have done that. So when I was in a band playing and whatnot, it came to solos and we were doing covers and whatnot. I would never copy the solos because I thought that was not the best thing to do. The thing is with a solo is to express yourself, and I don't want to express somebody else that has done the song. And so, and then you own it. You make it your song because that's your colors, your styles on it, and whatnot. And that's kind of what I think and have done in the past and whatnot. Kind of try to make me. So if you sit down and you listen to a bunch of my music, and I had a neighbor who did that and a lot, and he's heard a lot of my stuff, and he says, "No matter what you write, Landis, I can tell it's you that's written
Yeah, that's a
it."
good thing though.
So that's a very good thing, a very, very good thing, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So tell us the most exciting thing, other than what you already told us, you got going on this year before we let you go.
This year has been absolutely an incredible year for me because I got the website up and going because now that I'm up in my later years in life and whatnot, I want to leave my legacy and I want to make it available to the public. So that's why I made this website. That's why I'm taking all of my years of composition from, I think my first one was probably when I was 16. It's called Sunshine. It's a guitar solo instrumental, and all the way up to today, you know. So I have many, many works for, the seven work for orchestra, and I've got sextets, quartets, solos. You name it. And I also have written a fair number on my Black Tie album. You hear my instrumental songs that I did for a band. And I actually wrote a few songs too. So eventually I want to get all that stuff up on my website. So, and as I do it, I send out notifications. So on the website, if you're interested in what I'm doing and whatnot, sign up for the newsletter because I send one out probably once every 2 months or something. So you're not going to get inundated with stuff from me, but you will be kept up to date in what I'm doing.
Awesome, awesome, Landis. I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight with us.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Sorrento. It was just absolutely a pleasure to work with you.
You're welcome, Landis. So, to any listeners out there who may be artists, if you want to be on the Songwriter Show, please just reach out to me. To everyone else, thank you so much for listening. I hope your own unique story gets heard around the world. My name is Sorrentos. Please join me every Tuesday night to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at the Songwriter Show on Reality Radio 101. And tonight, I'm going to leave you with one of my solo instrumentals called Rabbit's Adventure. It's a children's solo instrumental featuring strings in A minor that sounds like John Williams. An adventure awaits for you and a rabbit who's at the center of it all. Have a great night, everyone. I love you guys. See you next week. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Songwriter Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.